Hey guys, I'm happy to announce a partnership with Reformation Heritage Books. Do you want to start reading the Puritans but just don't know where to begin? Puritan Treasures for Today from Reformation Heritage Books makes the riches of these godly writers of old accessible for the modern reader. With updated language and helpful instructions, these classic works from John Owen, Jeremiah Burroughs, and more are the perfect starting point for the curious reader. Learn more about the Puritan Treasures for Today at heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Use coupon code SHEPHERDS for 10% off your order. That's heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Coupon code SHEPHERDS. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. All right, guys, I have decided to go ahead and make a video, make an episode about everything that's going on the internet, and I'm going to do a defense of Ogden, a defense of Moscow, a defense of Apologia, and then say a little bit that's annoying about each group, and then really just call for proper ecumenicism and throw in a few comments about what I think is really going on. I'm not going to talk about the Antioch Declaration or any of that except just in passing. I'm not going to do a whole video on it. There's a lot of videos out there about that one way or the other. But I have had people in our church asking about this, so I thought it would be good just to go ahead and throw a few thoughts out about what I think is actually happening and why I think it may be good just to be a Luddite when it comes to social media. But I'm going to go ahead and ask for the Lord's help in prayer and then dive in by talking about something that happened 20 years ago and talking about the book Dangerous Calling, talking about the original ESV. Endorsers, and then connecting some dots for you. So let's go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's help and trust that He will give it. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much for what You're doing in our life. God, I thank You for the immense benefit that I have received from all of these guys that I'm going to be talking about here. And Lord, I just pray that the internet squabbles back and forth that go on between brothers that are so close theologically. God, I just ask that that kind of nonsense would just stop. And God, I pray for a real spirit of just brotherhood, true brotherhood, would be evident on the internet. And if people can't behave themselves on the internet, that they would have the maturity to just get off of the internet and just stop needlessly fighting. So help me right now to bring some clarity to this that would be helpful for our church and then for anybody else who may be listening in or get this from a friend or something like that. God, I just pray this would be helpful. And for the guys that are a part of this that I'm going to be talking about, if they do hear this, then I pray that proper repentance would happen if they need to repent and that there would be, that things would just move forward in a better way. And I just trust You're going to help. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Years ago, there was a book written by Paul David Tripp called Dangerous Calling. And if you look at the original endorsers of Dangerous Calling, let's see here, they were Danny Akin, Tullian Tvitchin, Burke Parsons, James MacDonald, Eric Redford, and Terry Virgo. So at least, let's see, Tullian has disqualified himself over and over again. James MacDonald has completely disqualified himself. Danny Akin, in so many ways, even though he's not officially disqualified as a president of a university should be, or a seminary should be, these guys have fallen. It truly is a dangerous calling. There's a image of the original ESV that had endorsers, and it was like Darren Patrick, John Piper, all these big names in evangelicalism at the time, John Harris, that were endorsers of the ESV, saying, we use the ESV, we love the ESV, this kind of thing. And so many of them, there's like only a handful of the original, like 25 endorsers or something like that, that are still qualified for ministry, in ministry, loving Jesus, and all of that sort of thing. And yet, at the time of these original endorsements of Dangerous Calling or the ESV, if you were to ask each other, the endorsers, about each other, they would probably give glowing reviews about the character of one another. And if you look back 20 years ago at like the original Acts 29 group of Chandler, Driscoll, Darren Patrick, that original group of guys, they were all speaking at each other's conferences. They were getting, you know, R.C. Sproul, they were getting John Piper in. they had notable people that were always speaking at their conferences. And what I've noticed over the years is that it's really easy to vouch for the character of another man if all you know of that man is a conference. If all you know of that man is internet conversation back and forth, it's really easy to build alliances like that of thinking, man, I really like this guy. He says a lot of really great things. He seems to be an honorable man, and he's a man of courage. That still happens to this day, where there's internet coalitions that can develop where you really think you know the character of a man based on his internet internet profile or his social media activity or the books that he's written or something like that. And that's been around for a long time. That's not like a social media phenomenon. That happened back in conference circuits days where all these guys were speaking at different conferences and could vouch for their character, but they only knew the man that was in town for that weekend and the conversations they had, you know, during that time at the conference, which may have been, you know, really genuine, may have seemed really authentic. It may have been, you know, this guy is really honest about his sins and failures and all this, and I can really just vouch for this guy's character. But the problem is, all you know is the conference version of that guy. And then there may have been all these things going on behind the scenes back with his local elders or with the local church where the testimony of the man's character locally would be different than the testimony of the man's character after you spoke at a conference with this guy. And I think this still happens today where it's easy to build these coalitions based on the character of a man that you know over one weekend or two weekends or over a few conversations over the phone or over the internet usage where you just like their social media, you know, presence or whatever. And so if you look at what happened then with these guys that could vouch for each other's character based on limited amount of time and very controlled amount of time with each other, you know, Driscoll would say about Chandler's character, it's great, it's on point. They would say about Driscoll's character, it's on point, it's great. Or Darren Patrick's character, it's on point, it's great. But then behind the scenes, back at the local level, the elders are having all these issues with what's going on, you know, locally at the pastoral level. And I think that kind of stuff still happens today. I think that's why you got to be very cautious and very slow when it comes to internet people and friendships, because you don't know what's actually happening at the local level. In fact, there's some people that are really well respected at the national level that I know about, but I know some personal things behind the scenes where there's some question marks about basic character issues. So it's always made me a little bit hesitant to listen or like the things that are going on, even though there's really good content that's being produced. And so you just have to be careful with internet coalitions and the people that you get to know, because it's a very curated character that's presented, that can be presented, especially if there's a conference circuit where you can come in town and the people just at the conference think all these great things about you. And yet those that are back home haven't received proper pastoral care. The elders don't really trust the character of one of their co-elders. And there's all sorts of issues that are happening locally. So I think you understand what's going on, what I'm talking about here, where it's easy to fake character or be a man of character or principle on the internet and then at a conference, but then not actually be a man of character and principle in your daily life from your household and then at the church. And so just a subtle warning to be careful, because coalitions can build really quickly based on social media, because you can see what people are saying publicly and think, oh, I like that. That's really good. Or man, that is just really sharp, top-notch quality material that's being produced and put out, and man, these guys are doing a lot of really great things, because what you see is that, you know, that veneer, and that veneer may be really good and really healthy, but behind the scenes you just really don't know about the actual character. So I would just say be very careful that you don't really know the character of these people, you know, based on what's presented and put out there on social media. Hey guys, I want to tell you about Rise Nutrition. It's located in Anna, Illinois, right here in Southern Illinois. Their mission is to empower the community through wellness. They do this through providing clean supplements and education. Rise provides monthly education seminars about a variety of topics, from how to build macros, the best pre-workout for fitness goals, what vitamins to take as we get older, and so much more. For the local listeners, they have a full-time nutritionist on site, and that's something that no other supplement store is doing in Southern Illinois. They also have fresh fruit smoothies that are made with clean products. For the non-locals, it can be hard to find clean supplements. The crew at Rise Nutrition can help you get the best and the cleanest stuff to help you get strong. Stop buying from the other guys and go to risenutrition.shop and use the coupon code SHEPHERDS10 for 10% off online or in-store. On another note, two of our elders train at Rise Performance Gym with our good buddy, preacher man, Joey Hawkins. So if you are looking for a gym, head on over to Rise.
The other thing that can happen is the coalitions can develop really quickly where people can vouch for one another's character, but also what can happen really quickly is that those coalitions can die off really quickly when it's just built on, conference relationships or friendships and you know, an affinity to social media content. So people can develop enemies really quick. You know, an enemy can be made out of a friend or an ally in a matter of a weekend based on a particular issue or a particular hot take or, you know, some friendship relationship that's spoiled or fallen because of, you know, this person doesn't like this person anymore because, you know, whatever it may be. So enemies and friends can be developed really, really rapidly, where you can really defend somebody's character, even though you don't actually know that person very well at all. And then you can really turn on somebody quickly. And this is what happens on the internet, where people that seem to be allies with their content, where it's like 99% together, now all of a sudden they're viewed as enemies, or there's cryptic, arrows being shot at one another, and there's all this plausible deniability about who's shooting and who's shooting where and who's supposed to have the other end of that arrow and that sort of thing. And that's what we see right now going on with Moscow, with Ogden, and with Apologia, and you could throw Joel Webbin in there as well, and then Tobias, and all of the internet, you know, explosion that's happening right now, that's leaving people at, like at our churches, with scratching their heads, wondering what the heck is going on? Whose side am I on all this? What do I need to know about all this information? And why do these people hate these people now? And they're so similar. And what's going on? Why does there need to be this Antioch Declaration? Are there people that are really pro-Nazis and all this stuff? And you're just left wondering what the heck's going on. And so if you know somebody locally, for instance, that is a little bit annoying. So I don't really need to say if you do know somebody in your church and in your family that's a little bit annoying. And yet, if you know that person's character and they annoy you about something, you can give them the benefit of the doubt because you know their character. You love them. Well, on the internet, when you don't necessarily know somebody's character as personally as you do locally, when somebody annoys you, it's easy to blast them and not give the benefit of the doubt, because your grievance is public and their content is public, and they do something publicly you don't like, you don't have this local ability to go to them and say, hey, dude, this is really annoying, I don't like this kind of thing. And so it's easy to build friends on the internet and coalitions, and it's also easy for friends and coalitions to die off and break off. And we're seeing that very publicly right now amongst, you know, groups that are so stinking similar. And really, this is going to be a call, I think, to proper ecumenicism, just trying to model what it is. It's really okay to disagree with people publicly, and it's also okay to keep people at arm distance and not be surprised if there are moral failures or sins that disqualify a man from ministry, or even whole groups of people from ministry. Don't be all that surprised. And also, just want to challenge you to have such local friendships that you're not bent out of shape when it comes to what's happening between Moscow and Joel Webbin, or what's happening between Tobias and Joel, or what's happening between Ogden and Joel, or Isker in Moscow. When you're just not bent out of shape, it's not taking your time, it's not taking your energy, you're just okay, and you're just giving people the benefit of the doubt. You're going to learn, and then not learn all that you can, and be thankful for all that you've learned from different groups, and then not be all that surprised or shocked if things don't go the way you think they should go, because you don't really know these people. I mean, what you do is you know an internet persona, or you know just with friendships that you've had or developed here and there over a conference or over the internet. And so just don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. So let me just go through a couple things that I really appreciate. And really, this is just an offense. It's like kind of an apologia for Ogden, for Moscow, and for Apologia. And then also just things that annoy me about each one. And what I want to do is model for you the ability to say it's okay to appreciate, and then also just to disagree with people about certain things. And it's not the end of the world. And I'm just kind of trying to give all these guys the benefit of the doubt. I don't like how some of these guys have handled all these issues, but I'm still going to keep learning from Moscow. I'm still going to keep learning from Ogden. I'm still going to keep learning from Apologia. And if one of these groups ends up spoiling themselves completely and falling apart and imploding, well, it's not the end of the world. It really isn't. I mean, we're grown-ups here. We love Jesus. We love our local church. We love our local elders. We love our co-elders. If you're a pastor like me, I love the elders that I have at our church and the friendships that we have. And the fighting back and forth, who does and who doesn't sign kind of thing, it shouldn't really matter. It shouldn't really matter, honestly. Okay? So let's talk about Ogden and why I appreciate Ogden so much. I really, and I start with them because I know them the best and have friendships with some of this group to a greater degree than others that go back several years, where I just have friendships with them. I've had all these guys on my shows before from all these groups. I've had people from on my show and consider some of these people friends, especially Ogden, because of friendships that go back, you know, 7 or 8 years now at this point. Let's see. Yeah, 7 or 8 years, six or seven years that we've had regular contact with some of these people. And I really appreciate the ambition of Ogden. They're largely younger. So if you look at the figureheads, Brian in Moscow, I mean, Brian in Ogden, Doug in Moscow, and then you look at kind of a dual, you know, two figureheads in Phoenix, which would be Jeff and James White. But I love Brian. I've learned so much from Brian, and then Eric and Dan and Ben and all the guys that are there, they're really ambitious. They have an idea and they do it. They're very much like Moscow in this way, very entrepreneurial. They're going to get things done. They're going to figure out how to use the healthy child labor and get things done locally and, you know, print their own books, write their own books, produce their own material. They're doing such a great job with all of this. And I appreciate that. I appreciate also the love of the family, a love of the local church, and their, you know, true commitment to raising their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And a sidebar here, Eric recommended a really good book to us via Lexi and Jordan's friendship, and we got to read. It's on my shelf somewhere. It's by it's Child Rearing Tips, and it's such a great book about, I'll put it in the show notes. I'm forgetting the name right now. It's such a great book and I'm forgetting the name. And I've heard such great things about the children of all of the guys in Ogden that they're just wonderful. And then you hear Eric and see everything that's going on and the content that's being produced, and it's just excellent. And so I appreciate the excellence. I appreciate the friendship. I appreciate how willing they are to talk with me and just be kind. I like those guys a lot and I've learned a ton from them. But then, and I've told them this personally, even up to recently today, saying, hey, I'm going to be doing this episode. I want to tell you one way that you really annoy me. And I've told them this before, but with Eric, what ends up spoiling people on Ogden is their internet presence. It's Twitter. And just imagine Twitter didn't exist. All these squabbles wouldn't be existing, by the way. Eric on Twitter, I was on Twitter like a year and a half ago. I got back on, and I jumped back off because it's just always like a fire hose. Eric is just, it's just one thing after another, and Brian to lesser degree, and Dan, I don't even know if he's on the internet or not, but what just gets people exhausted with Ogden is just, it's always great content, but it's just always something else, and it's just a fire hose of information. So here's how you can disagree with the guys from Ogden, okay? All right, you say, well, I don't like that they shared the White Boy Summer video and really like that, and I actually loved that White Boy Summer video until I saw the Nazi stuff in it. And they felt the exact same way after they saw the Nazi stuff. They were like, hey, that's not good. But if you don't like some of the stuff that they do on the internet, instead of saying, well, look, these guys are disqualified because their character on the internet, Eric in particular is disqualified. It's like, all right, well, just don't follow him or don't get on the internet. So you have a differing view of what the proper role is in ministry being on the internet. You may have a differing view on that, and they've got a differing view on that. I'm sure they could have a defense of why they are should be a fire hose and why they should, you know, really get after every controversy or whatever. Okay, so you can disagree. Big whoop. What's the big deal? All right? You disagree in some of the application of patriarchy. Okay, so, you know, I don't believe that head coverings have to be a cloth covering. I believe that women have to have head coverings, but don't believe it has to be a cloth covering. All right? So you disagree with that. Who cares? Does it really matter? Is that a thing to fight about and to say, I don't really like them at all? In your local church, when you have people that you have differing views on, what's your posture towards them? Well, you're just like, hey, you want to go to lunch? Or you talk about it, you debate it. You don't say like, oh my gosh, they're dangerous because they have this view or whatever. You don't do that because you love each other. And so if you were local with these guys, you'd be able to work through those you know, disagreements. Who cares? Big whoop. So I appreciate and love Ogden. I've learned so much from those guys. Even though they're younger than I am, I've looked up to them in a lot of ways, even though I don't appreciate some of their internet stuff. And I'm not on the internet, like I said, anymore. So a lot of this is just what I hear from everybody else. And it seems that Eric is the most exhausting with Twitter. So, and I've told him that. So, Moscow. Who doesn't love Moscow? I've learned so much from them. I love Doug Wilson. I really do. He's been so gracious to me. He's come on my shows. I've got to interview him so many times at this point, and he's been great. Toby's been great. The first time I met Toby, I was sitting with him in Moscow, and I called him Toby Stumpler. And we got a good laugh. It was with the Ogden boys. We were in the office. We were all together, and I was interviewing Toby. It was my first interview with anybody, and I just was nervous and got his name, you know, wrong. And he was gracious about that. But I love those guys. I've learned a lot from them, and really appreciate all the content. I mean, they're 20 years ahead of Ogden in doing all this stuff, figuring out how to print their own books that they're writing and saying things like, you should write a book about it, and then actually doing it. The ambition is really unparalleled. It really reminds me of the Tyler, Texas Reconstructionist groups, where, man, their output and their workload was incredible and what they were able to accomplish. It's the same thing with Moscow. When we get a complete works of Doug Wilson one day that Canon puts out in 20 or 30 years, whenever Doug dies, or however long it is, the complete works list, it's going to be massive. I mean, it's going to rival a lot of the huge, who has huge complete works? I know like Thomas Watson does, his complete works are ginormous. John Owen's complete works are massive. I mean, who's ever going to read all of John Owen's work? Well, the complete works of Doug Wilson's going to rile that. I mean, it's going to be massive. So I love those guys. I appreciate about the, you know, a lot of things about those guys. But what are some annoying things about them? Well, how about this? Doug and the guys from Moscow, I don't think I've ever heard them apologize about anything. It's always, you misunderstood. It's never, we misspoke. It's never, I'm sorry for entertaining the idea that Baptist theology caused transgenderism. It's never an apology for something like that. It's always, you misunderstood, let me clarify. It's never, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that. It's always this plausible deniability. And it's, I look, if you look up, you know, articles or podcasts, I don't think you'll ever see any apology ever from them. And That's not good. I don't think it's a good trait. I think you should be quick to apologize, to say, you know what, I was wrong on that. Sorry, big book. In our family, one of the things we regularly do is we always say, I was right, I was wrong, you were right, sorry, you were right, I was wrong. And we make a habit of that because our family, we regularly believe we're right about everything. And so what Jordan and I do to each other and what we've modeled for our children is to say, you were right, I was wrong, I'm sorry. And that happens regularly. So there's some things that are, that's just annoying about Moscow. I think the cryptic messaging about all this stuff between, you know, it feels like they're attacking the Stone Choir guys, which I just learned about. And it feels like so is Apologia, but they're also cryptically attacking Joel and Ogden as well. And I just think that's, I think it's petty and silly. I think they need to work these things out. That's why these internet coalitions can, another observation about how internet coalitions can form really quickly and they can break down really quickly. Whereas if they were all local together in the same local church, they would work these things out. And if they had differences on, you know, application on these things, it's like principles, methods stuff. Who cares? Like, I mean, Moscow's been talking about differences between principles and methods for years. And then when somebody comes along with the same, you know, different methods to these same principles of application of the serrated edge or something like that, then they're like, oh, bad. And have all these cryptic messaging that that goes out in their content and episodes and all that kind of stuff. And I just think that is, I think that's silly and unhelpful. And I think as much as I appreciate and love them, I think that's annoying. So again, it's like a big whoop. There's also confusion that comes from Moscow as well when it comes to their teaching on covenant faithfulness. I've talked a lot about this in previous episodes. I've been quick to praise and also be a subtle, not a subtle, but a critic when I see things that are things that I disagree with from them. Also, some things are confusing when they'll say about parenting. Sometimes if you read the parenting material from Canon, you'll get stuff like, you know, your household needs to be a garden of yes, but then also you need to regularly say no. You're like, well, wait a minute. Is it a garden of yes, or do I need to be saying no more often? Which is it? So sometimes the messaging and the content that comes out of Moscow about the family can be a little bit confusing. And even about education, there can be a little bit of a snobby attitude about, classical education. Same thing with Ogden as well, I would say, to some degree or another, where most people don't have the ability. Most people's, you know, barrier of entry to Christian education is going to be homeschool. And when there's a subtle classical education is way better and superior to homeschool, to all these people that are learning from Moscow and Ogden, you're like, yeah, but we don't have the ability to do that right now. We are homeschooling, and this is the best and the highest quality of education that we can possibly give is homeschooling. And so some of that stuff from Moscow can be annoying as well, kind of like a superiority complex of believing that you're above people. And again, these are things they may say, well, we just disagree with that. And that's okay. All right. Apologia. Now, admittedly, I've learned less from Apologia over the years, but I still have learned a lot from Doug. I really appreciate, from Jeff and from James, and I appreciate their content, their boldness, their fight for the unborn, their position on abolition, and their promotion of that biblically has been really great. The Kuyperian worldview that comes out of all these three, the last two, the Kuyperian view that comes out of Moscow and from Apologia has been so helpful. I really appreciate that a lot. I love their willingness to debate and have friendly conversations with people about the gospel of Jesus. And James White's done this, in an admirable way over the years. That is something that I would want to emulate, that would want to model. And yet there's things about them as well that are really annoying. I think there's pride that's there. I think that there's an attitude toward, particularly from James White, towards younger people that I don't appreciate, and him saying, you know, I've been doing this for all however long. And I think they can also dig their heels in when it comes to things like with the Tobias and Joel Webbin thing. But I also think their treatment of, you know, I think what's really annoying is their treatment of Stephen Wolfe has been quite annoying. And you could say things about Stephen Wolf as well, where it's like, oh, I don't like his internet presence either. It's annoying, like Eric's is. And same thing about Isker, and I don't like, you know, their internet presence or whatever. But honestly, like, all these guys are so similar theologically. I think it's needless. And I think if they were all in the same local church, they would figure out a way to work this out. And because they're not in the same local church, it's all internet stuff, and seeing each other just a few times a year, one or two times a year, or meeting each other in passing, or hearing what each other's saying about each other, about one another. There's the, again, breakdown in coalitions. There's the breakdown in friendships, and there's the divisions that happen where churches like ours that are run-of-the-mill 1689 Baptist churches, where we love all these guys and we've learned from all these guys, there's all this stuff that's going on in his battles, and we're left wondering, what the heck are we to do with all this? And that's why, again, I'm trying to do this episode, is just to say, you can really give people the benefit of the doubt and simultaneously say, I really disagree with this particular behavior, I'm disappointed in this particular behavior, and then still give honor where honor is due and keep learning and all that kind of stuff. So I don't like the some of the pride that comes out of apology. And so to wrap all this stuff up, okay, let's think about it again. If there's character issues that happen with any of these groups, and a lot of this, again, is infighting over Christian nationalism and application and principles and methods and all of that, is it the end of the world if all these people end up either spoiling your ministry or, I mean, for you personally, for our church locally? It's like, okay, learn. We've always said it's healthy, and I think a lot of people have said this, to eat the meat and spit out the bones. Can we not do that? I mean, that's what other people have to do with you. I mean, that's what they have to do with me. If you were to write a book or put out online material about your convictions, trying to help people, okay, if you're trying to help people, this is the man in the arena stuff from Teddy Roosevelt. If you're producing content and you have godly ambition and you're wanting to help as many people as possible, therefore you're putting a lot of internet content out there, and there's people that like your content, and then there's some people that don't like your content. I mean, that's like the nature of just trying to help people in your local church. I mean, I'm doing this, and if you were to do this, if you were to be in the shoes of Ogden or Moscow or Apologia, there's going to be people that wouldn't like what you have to say, and they don't know your character one way or the other, but they don't like what you have to say. And yet locally, there's people who do know your character. And so if everybody ends up, kind of imploding morally and soiling themselves, and their ministries fall apart, and there's all this infighting, and it just continues to happen, and everybody's just like, you know what, forget all of those guys. Well, locally, you're going to be fine. Like, you love Jesus, love your local church. Don't put people up on too high of pedestals, and just understand that you really don't know these people all that well. You don't really know their character, but also, like yourself, just be gracious. Be gracious to people. So, you know, you don't like I don't particularly like the wording and how, you know, even the fact that the Antioch Declaration was put out, but, you know, if people sign it, well, that's fine. It's not the end of the world. There's people that, so it's just not the end of the world. And then simultaneously, it's like, I'm not going to sign the document, but I also don't like Nazism and don't think that anti-Semitic stuff is good. Like, we should love Jewish people and want them to know Jesus and love Jesus and all of that. And so that's a good thing. And then also, you know, like World War II stuff, everybody's freaking out about. It's like, so you have a differing view on history. All right. Is it sinful? Well, don't be sinful. And give people the benefit of the doubt. Now I'm just kind of rambling here, but anyways, about the whole ordeal, if you're wondering, you know, for Christchurch Carbondale, are we not going to, you know, listen to Moscow anymore? Are we not going to listen to the Ogden guys anymore? Are we not going to listen to Stephen Wolf anymore? It's like, hey, learn from people. Don't be sinful when you learn. And if there's things that you disagree with, just think, okay, I disagree with that. Like you would if, you know, sometimes with me or sometimes, you know, with people in our church, you can disagree, but be an adult. You have the Holy Spirit. Use discernment. And if there's things that are radical, like biblically radical, that are outside the bounds of biblical orthodoxy, well, then don't go there. All right? But use wisdom. You don't have to fight. You really can honor each other. And you really can conduct yourself in a manner that's honorable. And this is what I wish would happen with all these guys. I wish they would just work it out. Ogden did the No More Brother Wars episode. It was really good. And now I wish that there really was no more Brother Wars. I just wish they would figure it all out, that they would act like grownups and they would, all parties involved, repent where there needs to be repentance. And if there's repentance, like marriage, all problems in marriage are sin issues. And the answer to marriage issues is repentance. And the answer to all this that's going on is people repenting. And then if there's still disagreements after the repentance, and obviously not repenting if you don't need to, but if there's still disagreements, then my goodness, can we not disagree when we're like 99% or 95% in agreement about certain things? So Anyways, hope this is helpful. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Would love to hear your comments. And again, I still love all those guys, and I'm going to keep learning from them until something happens where it's just like, well, somebody's disqualified. And if somebody's disqualified, well, then I'll stop learning from them. Anyways, love you all. Hope this has been helpful.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.